All right, Tibosai, good morning. Oh, yes, thank you. Today's daf is sponsored by Baruch Gold in memory of his mother, Chana Bas Aaron Alevi, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, your mother's neshama has an aliyah. Amen. All right, Tibosai, so today's daf is Kuf Yotes, and we will begin on Kuf Yotes. Good, it's helpful. So says the Gemara. So if you remember, again, we actually left off yesterday with, in the middle of a pasuk, Mayim lemechasa otik. So it's a kuf yotes, it's the last word on the second line. Mayim lemechasa otik, what's the meaning of this phrase? We all said the Gemara was quoting from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. What does it mean that he who goes ahead and literally covers that which is old? Zeha mechasa dvarim shekisa otik yomin. This refers to a person who continues to go ahead and literally kisa means cover over the things of older days. Umaynihu, emaynihu, what does this refer to? Sisrei Torah, the hidden sections of the Torah. I mean, I will say, again, it's an interesting idea. I'm not really going to get too much into it right now, but there are certain parts of the Torah that are not meant to be expounded. Because, again, of deeper esoteric meaning, because you're not easily understood, and perhaps more importantly, because they can be so easily misunderstood. So if you look at the Rashbam, the Rashbam says Sisrei Torah, and the Rashbam writes, he says Sisrei Torah, Ma'aseh HaMerkava. So this refers to Ma'aseh HaMerkava, which again is the episode that's described in Yecheskel, where ultimately again, it's working, it's good, thank you, where ultimately again, we have this episode of the Chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a very esoteric episode, Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis is the creation account. That even in the creation story, the truth is, the story is not as simple as it seems. So the Navi praises those who go ahead and choose to keep those things that have been hidden throughout the ages to remain hidden. Umaynin who sits right. Sorry, the Ikad Ami. Others say Zeha Megala Dvarim Shekisa Atak Yom. Others say no, that the Navi is praising the person who reveals things that were hidden in past days. Umaynin who. What does this refer to? Ta'amei Torah. This refers to revealing the deeper hidden reasons of the Torah. Amar Rav Kana Mishum Rabbi Yishmael B'Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Kana said, "Name Rabbi Yishmael B'Rabbi Yossi." My Dichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? We'll say again, more beautiful Gemara today. Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid. So we'll say again, Lam Natseach literally translated means to the conductor a song of David. Understand, David HaMelech wrote very important Leviim. You should have to pay good attention to this. David HaMelech wrote Sefer Tehillim. As music. Sefer Tehillim is music. And he actually wrote it for the Levim to sing Shira. Not only that, but David HaMelech actually says in most of the Kapitlach what tunes to use and what instruments to use. It's absolutely amazing. So Lamanatzeach means to the conductor of the Levitic choir. That spot is still open. That spot is still open. So we're actually accepting applications here. So all right. So David. So to the conductor. So but here the Gemara has a beautiful different drasha about this. The Gemara says, what does it mean? Lam natzeach zamru lemishenotzchin oso v'sameach. Literally, sing to the one who you can defeat him, and yet he's still happy. The hymn over here both says Ribon lo shel olam. What does this mean? See how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so different than mortal man. How so? See, he says, Basar v'dam, menatzchin oso va'atzov. You know, when it comes to flesh and blood, if flesh and blood is locked in a conflict with someone and they lose, if I'm locked in a conflict and I lose, I'm sad. I'm sad that I lost. But God, when we defeat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is very happy. Shine emar. So here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to destroy the Jewish people. This is in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. God was ready to destroy them were it not that Moshe Rabbeinu stood in the breach before God. So what is David HaMelech extolling over here? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to go ahead and destroy Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu stopped him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy that he, so to speak, lost the battle. So therefore, the Gemara Darshan says, Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. So David HaMelech sang to the one, Lam Natzeach, who had no problem being defeated. Lam Natzeach Netzach. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. God loves nothing more than when we overcome him. Amar Rav Kana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So Rav Kana said to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Reish Shimon Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. Mayad Chsev, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Again, another beautiful Gemara. V'yidei Adam mitachas kanfehem. So we'll say here, the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk from Yechezkel. Interestingly enough, this is actually Maisa Merkava. This is actually part of the episode of the chariot that the Gemara said we don't study before. So the Nabi says that literally these Kruvim, there are different levels of angels in the celestial sphere, and Kruvim apparently are the ones that are closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Navi describes this vision of the Kruvim, and for the Kruvim, the hands of man, literally means the hands of man, were coming out from underneath their wings. So the Kruvim have wings, and apparently, again, there were hands coming out of the wings, or beneath the wings. So the Gemara says, Yodoksiv. Interestingly enough, even though we read it yidei, hands, plural, it's actually written yado, singular. So whose hand does it refer to? Listen to how beautiful this is. Ze yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This refers to the hands of God. They're the hand of God. Sheprusa tachas kanfei hachayos kedei lekabel ba'alei tshuva miyad midas hadin. This refers to the hands of God that extend beneath the wings of the chayos, in order to go ahead and receive Bali Tshuva and save them from the strict attribute of justice. So it's so absolutely beautiful. So apparently, again, Midas Hadin wants to seize people. The strict attribute of justice wants to judge people for their crimes. But yet the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches down from his throne beneath the wings of the Chayos to go ahead and grab onto any person who's really a true Bal Tshuva and save them ultimately from the Midas Hadin. Absolutely amazing. So we'll say, you see the same motif over here. Lamnatseach mizmor leDavid. And we'll say, remember this, because when you say Tehillim, it's such a profound yisod. Who is David HaMelech singing to? Lamnatseach, to the one who has no problem being defeated. When defeat in that case means what? Salvation for the Jewish people. The hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu extend down beneath the wings of the Chayos. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save us whenever possible. All we need to do is work a little bit to get in the right direction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to swoop, to sweep, to swoop, to sweep, to grab us. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there ultimately just to grab us up and to save us from justice. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmol. Kol Kesef V'Zav Sheva Olam Yosef Liktam. I'll say good. This is good Agarata for the upcoming Parshulis as well. So Rav Yehuda, same as Shmuel. All the gold and silver in the world, Yosef collected it, the Hevil in Mitzrayim, and he brought it to Egypt. So Moshe is obviously referring to when Yosef is viceroy in Egypt. Remember, there's massive famine. During the course of that famine, he was able to accumulate pretty much the world's wealth in Egypt. What happens? Shneimar, because the pasuk says, Vayilaket Yosef, es kol hakesef hanimtza. Yosef collected all of the money that was found, all of the wealth that was found. Only other Sheberetz Mitzrayim. So I only know that Yosef collected all the wealth in Egypt. Sheberetz Kinan, Bishar Aratos Minayim. How do we know that Yosef also collected the wealth that was in Kinan and the wealth that was in all of the other lands as well? Talmud Lomar, the Chala Aretz Ba'u Mitzrayim. Because the pasuk says, and the entire land came to Egypt. And I will say, when it says the entire land, so what at least what it means is the entire area around Egypt, all of civilization around Egypt. The Gemara wants to suggest that it could have even been a greater famine that would have caused even far-flung places to come to Egypt. But the point is, how did Yosef go out and sell them wheat? They gave up their wealth. So as a result of the famine in Egypt, Egypt housed the wealth of the world, or some good part of civilization. Listen to this. When the Jewish people left Egypt, Ha'aluhu imahem, they took the wealth with them. I will say, it's astonishing. We know that the Jewish people left wealthy, but now we have an idea as to how wealthy. Shne'emar, vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. Because the pasuk says, they emptied. Yinatzlu means empty. They emptied Egypt. Ravasi amra asua kimetsuda zu she'en ba dagon. Ravasi said, they made it like a mitsuda, is like a trap, Rabosai, that has no wheat. I guess if you wanted to trap animals, you'd put a little grain in it to trap the animal. So they made it like a trap that had no wheat. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ki mitzula she'in ba dogim. No, not mitzuda she'in ba dogan, but mitzula. Mitzula means a net, like a net that has no fish, right? Meaning totally empty. V'haya munach ad rechavam. And this wealth resided with the Jewish people until Rechavam. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah. And it was during Rechavam's days, remember, where there was a split in the kingdom of Israel. That's when the kingdom of Yisrael and Yehuda split. So what happens? It stayed with Rechavam. Ba Shishak. Shishak Melek Mitzrayim. So Shishak, who was the king of Egypt, came along. V'natlo me Rechavam. Shishak, so Egypt comes back, and Egypt essentially empties the coffers of the Jewish people, takes all the wealth back. Shnei Mar, Vahi Bashanach, Amishas, Melek Rechavam. Alo Shishak, Melek Mitzrayim, Al Yerushalayim. Vayikach es Osros Beis Hashem, Ve'es Osros Beis HaMelech. So Shishak comes up, and he empties out the treasuries of the Beis HaMikdash and the treasuries of the king. Ba Zerach Melech Melech Kush, the Nutla Mishishak. So what happens? Zerach, the king of Kush, comes along and takes all the wealth from Shishak. Ba Asa, the Nutluho Mizerach. Asa, Rabbi say, who's Asa? Asa is the grandson of Rechavam. The grandson of Rechavam. So the great grandson of Shlomo Melech, great great grandson of David Melech, comes back, and what happens? Takes it from Zerach, the king of Kush. The Shigra, well, listen to this, but he didn't keep it. The Shigra, Lahadrimon ben Tavrimon. And he sent the wealth over to Adrimon, the son of Tavrimon. Now, who is that, Rabbi? So I take a look at the Rashbam here for just a moment. The Rashbam writes, Bishigro Lahadrimon. It's like in the fourth wide line in the Rashbam on the bottom. Melech Aram. Hadrimon ben Tavrimon was the king of Aram. Why did he send the wealth to Aram? La'azor lo al Basha Melech Yisrael. Because we'll say at this point in time, there was a major war between Asa, between essentially the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yisrael. And in an episode that never goes well, the kingdom of Yehuda reached out to outside help, to help fight against their brothers, to help fight against Yisrael, and he enlisted the help of Melech Aram. So he took all of this wealth, and essentially he bought the services of the king of Aram. What happened? Ba'u b'nei Amon, v'natlo mehadrimon ben Tavrimon. So the Amon came along and took the wealth from Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. Uba Yehoshaphat. Once again, now we have another Melech, another Jewish king. So Yehoshaphat came along. V'natlo mibnei Amon. And he took it from Amon. V'hayamunach ad Achaz. And it remained with the Jewish people until the reign of Achaz. King Achaz, another Jewish king. Bo Sancheriv. V'natlo mi Achaz. Sancheriv came along and took it from Achaz. Bo Chizkiyah. We know again was a great tzaddik. Could have been the Mashiach, the Gemara says. Chizkiyah HaMelech comes along and he takes the wealth back from Sancheirev. And the wealth remained with the Jewish people until King Tzidkiyah. Bo Kastiyim, the Chaldeans came along. And they took it from Tzidkiyah. Bo Parsiyim, the Persians came along. And they took it from the Kastiyim. Ba'u Yevanim, the Greeks came along, but not only pricing. I will say, you have to understand something. In the world of the world empires, the way this worked is you had the Kastim, the Chaldeans. Chaldeans are swallowed up by Persia. Persia is swallowed up by Greece. And Greece ultimately is swallowed up by Rome. So when it says they came and they took it, it's not just that they took the wealth, they literally swallowed up these empires. So what happens? Ba'u Yevanim, the Greeks came and took it from the Persians. Ba'u Romiyim, v'natlu miyad Yevanim. And the Romans came and took it from the Greeks. Va'adayin munach v'romi. And if you want to know where still all of that original wealth is, it still resides in Rome. Okay. Wherever it is. It resides in Rome. Om Rabbi Chana Bar Chanina. Rabbi Chana Bar Chanina says, Shalosh matmonios hit min Yosef in Mitzrayim. Actually, so now still talking about this wealth, Yosef, this massive wealth that Yosef amassed, he hid it in almost like three different stockpiles in Egypt. Achos niskala leKorach, one stockpile of wealth was revealed to Korach. We'll say that's why we know Korach was exceptionally, the Jews all left with wealth. But we'll see in just a little bit, Korach left with exceptional wealth. So the Gemara attributes that exceptional wealth to the fact that he found some of the hidden wealth of Yosef. You know, when I say, I don't mean, it's not like, right, some of the hidden wealth of Yosef, fine. The achas niskala la'antoninos ben Asaviros. So we'll say one of the pockets of wealth, one of the stockpiles was revealed to Antoninus ben Asaviros. So this is Antonius Severus, who is one of the Roman Caesars. So, and again, remember, we learn a lot about Antoninus. Antoninus had a very close relationship with some of the greatest rabbanim of the time, very interesting figure. The achas ginuza le tzadikim le asad lahom. And one stockpile of wealth is still hidden and will only be revealed in the Messianic era. And it'll be given to the tzaddikim in the future. So what happens? Because the Pasuk says, Osher Shamor Leba'alav L'Ra'aso. So we'll say the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Koheles that literally translated it means that there is wealth that is stored away for its owner that has a negative effect, L'Ra'aso, for the detriment of the person. Who does that refer to? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Zu Ashro Shel Korach. This refers to the wealth of Korach, meaning that the wealth of Korach was his very undoing. Shene'emar, Ve'eskala Yekum Asher Beragleihem. I will say, when the Pasuk talks about the fact that what happened to Korach, so the Torah says that the earth opened up, swallowed them up, their homes, their tents, Ve'eskala Hayekum Asher Beragleihem. Now, literally what this means is, Yekum sounds like standing, like come, and all of the things that stood at their feet. So the way we normally just interpret this is that it means all of their possessions. But look what the Gemara says. Amar Belazar, Zemamono Shel Adam. Yukum Asher Beragleihem means their money. Why is their money called Yukum Asher Beragleihem? So the Gemara says, Shema'amido Araglav. Because a person's wealth enables or allows him to what? To stand on his feet. To stand on his feet. So interestingly enough, that could be a good thing or that could be a bad thing. On one hand, your wealth could give you confidence to accomplish what you need to accomplish. On the other hand, it could also make one very arrogant and think that they could stand too tall, which is exactly what happened to Korach. So Amar Levi, so I will say the Gemara just describes Korach's wealth. Amar Levi, Masui Shlosh Meos Pradim Levanos, Hayu Maftechos Shel Genaza Beis Korach. Korach needed 300 white mules. I guess white mules were also considered to be stronger mules. Needed 300 white mules to carry the keys to his treasure houses. Now let's say, obviously, this is employing a little bit of hyperbole, right? But the point that Gemara is making over here, 300 mules just to carry the keys, right? Not to carry the wealth, just to carry the keys. And not only that, says the Gemara, Vakulu, Aklidi Uklifi de Galda. And all of these were locks and were keys made of leather. So they bent these to make it out of hardened leather, and that was lighter. So even though, again, they were light locks and light keys, they still needed 300 mules. The point is, Korach was fabulously wealthy. So they both said this is important for us for two reasons. Number one, because the Gemara attributes Korach's incredible wealth to the fact that he discovered one of the hidden pockets of wealth of Yosef. That's number one. And number two, the reason why the Gemara focuses on this is because wealth was the undoing of Korach. Wealth is an interesting thing. It could go one of two ways, which is, again, either it could, we saw before in the previous Gemara, that ultimately wealth could be the greatest bracha of Gemilas Chassadim. A person could do something positive with it, or God forbid, it could infuse a person with incredible arrogance. And when a person is infused with incredible arrogance, there's no telling the type of destruction that they could ultimately create. Okay, weiter. Another, we'll say this. I almost feel like we're not worthy to do this. This is mamish. That's how good it is. All right, fine, we'll do it. So the Gemara says like this. Listen to this Gemara. And this is, if you are learning out of your own Gemara, I hope that you have all been underlining these Gemaras when necessary, or at least folding over your pages, because don't lose these Gemaras, because what sometimes happens when you learn is, you know, see a beautiful Gemara, then what happens? Especially when you're doing Daf Yomi. We move at a somewhat quick pace, and the truth is it gets lost in the sands of the Talmud. Make sure to somehow keep a marking on these pages, because this is going to forever change your halal. Amar Rav Shlomo bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yonasan. Otcha ki ani sani. Literally translated, I give you thanks because you have afflicted me. Right? An amazing statement. The person saying, Otcha Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you for my difficulties, not because I'm a sadist, I don't like suffering, but because I recognize that I grow from my suffering. So who said that? Amar David. David HaMelech was the first one to say this. Otcha ki ani sani, David HaMelech said. I will say, we know all you need to do is look at Sefer Tehillim, which essentially is a picture of David HaMelech's life. David HaMelech suffered terribly, and in every single way that you could possibly imagine. David HaMelech was rejected by his family as a child. He ultimately had problems in his marriage. He was betrayed by his balabatin, right? By his constituents. He was betrayed by his own son. He suffered through sickness. The only thing David HaMelech didn't have to contend with, really the only thing he didn't have to worry about, was Parnassah. And that's a function because being king comes with a pretty good package. So he never had to worry about that. But that was the only area in life where he did not suffer terribly. In every other situation, marriage, family, relationships, health, Everything else he suffered terribly. So, but yet David HaMelech was strong enough to say, Otcha, thank you that you afflicted me, because I know that I've only become the person I am because of my difficulties. Evan Masu Habonim Haisal Rosh Pina, literally the stone that was despised by the builders became the cornerstone for the building. Who said this was going to blow you away? Amar Yishai. Yishai said this. Yishai, the father of David. Why did Yishai, the father of David, say this? Well, say, remember, when Shmuel HaNavi comes, Shmuel HaNavi is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to the sons of Yishai and appoint a king from among the sons of Yishai. And what happens? Yishai lines up all of his sons who are strapping young men. They're valiant soldiers. They're generals in Shaul's army. And David HaMelech, excuse me, and Shmuel goes through each of them. And God says, not this one, not this one, not this one, not this one. He gets to the end of the line and says, Yishai, do you have any more kids? Anyone else? And Yishai says, yeah, there's one more. But Yishai didn't even think to call in David from the field. He didn't even, that's how little he thought of his son. Yeah, he doesn't have a little, but he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. What do you want with him? Shmuel said, do me a favor, bring him in. And sure enough, we know the story ends. Little David, who everybody wrote off as an Eisvar, that's Latin, right? As an Eisvar, you know, that he's a nothing. He's a nothing. That, so Yishai says when he sees that David is picked, Evan Masu Habonim, this rock that was despised, and David HaMelech was mistreated terribly by his father and by his brothers. Ultimately, that rock that was despised has now become the cornerstone. Me'is Hashem Haisazos. This is clearly, because it could only come from God. Amru Echav, that his brother, David HaMelech's brothers said, when he was selected as king, right? I don't know the intonation, right? This could only come from God, right? Or this could come from God, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good luck with this one. Whatever they were saying, is they recognized that the choosing of their brother was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ze Hayom Aso Hashem. This is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made for great celebration. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel HaNavi said, after selecting David HaMelech as king, because there's one thing that Shmuel also knew. He realized that when he selected David HaMelech as king, this was the beginning of a great, great dynasty. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. Amru Echav, the brothers of David HaMelech said, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. So ultimately, what the brothers are saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed David to save us. Allowed David to save us from our enemies. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please make me successful. Amar David. David HaMelech said it. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Yishai. Yishai said this. Now also about his son. Beirachnuchem. Beirachnuchem mi beis Hashem. Ultimately you will be blessed in the house of God. Amar Shmuel. El Hashem vayor lanu. Excuse me, I should say. Kel Hashem vayor lanu. So literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. And he illuminates. He lights up our way. Amru Kulan, they all said together, Isru Chag Ba'avosin, Arkanas HaMizbeach, literally tie up the Chag. Chag means the carbon with cords at the corner of the Mizbeach. If you take a look at the Rashbam says, Isru Chag Ba'avosin, He views Zvachim Ushlamim Harbe L'smoach Umatan Dam L'Mizbeach. That's another way of saying, let's bring carbonos to celebrate the fact that a new monarchy has just been initiated. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said this, Keli Ata V'odeka, you are my God, and I will live a life that exalts you. Amar David. David HaMelech said that about being chosen as king. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will make sure that my monarchy is a credit to you. Elokai Arom Mecca. You are our God and we will exalt you. Amar Kulan. Everyone said it. So Rabbi Osai, it's just absolutely amazing. So essentially, again, from Odecha, all the way through Baruch Haba, is the conversation that took place between David, Yishai, his brothers, and Shmuel HaNavi on the day that he was selected as king. Only because I have to finish the daf are we going on. Tanan Hassam. We learned over there, still talking about Halal. Makom Shenagu Lichpol, Homebeis, Yichpol. So we'll say it's about Halal over here. And there are different minhagim in Halal. In some places, when they recited Halal, they would repeat certain verses. Rashi actually points out over here, Lichpol, this is actually talking about Kol HaHalal. There are some places that actually used to repeat the entire Halal. Meaning, we'll say the same way that we say Odecha, that phrase twice, Hodu LaHashem, Ana Hashem Hoshiana twice, there are some places that said multiple parts, sometimes even the entire part of the Halal twice. So if that's the minog, then that's what you do. Lifshot, Yifshot. And if you only say it once, Levarich acher Rav Yivarich. Some have the minhag to make a bracha at the end of Hallel. Make a bracha. Hakol k'minhag avadiyah. Essentially, when it comes to Hallel, you should just follow the regular minhag. Whatever the minhag of your place is, that's how you should recite Hallel. Amar Abayi said, lo shana el la'acharov. When we said you should follow the minhag of the Medina, that's only talking about the bracha at the end of Hallel. Avalafonav, when it comes to making a bracha before Hallel, mitzvah levarich. Everyone agrees that what? There is a mitzvah to make a bracha at the beginning of Hallel. How do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, kol mitzvos mevarich alehen over la'asiyasan. Because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shlomo, say that when it comes to a general klal, all mitzvos, we make a bracha before the performance of the mitzvah. And I will say again, the truth is, it doesn't matter if that's a biblical mitzvah or a rabbinic mitzvah. Because remember, Hallel, let's say during Rosh Chodesh, is a rabbinic mitzvah. So whether it's rabbinic or biblical, we make brachos over la'asiyasan, prior to the performance of the mitzvah. So the Gemara just says as an aside, my mashma da hai over loshon da'ak dumehu. Now I will say, understand just grammatically, if you wanted to make that statement, there's an easy way to make that statement. You could have said, kol ha-mitzvos, mevarchin alein, what word would you use?
Kodem
or lifnei. Right? Kodem asiyasan lifnei. What do you mean over la'asiyasan? So the Gemara says, how do you know that the word over itself means before? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because we use this in the context of psukim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok tichsiv, vayoratz achi ma'atz derech hakikar, vaya'avor es hakushi. Achi ma'atz ran across the plain, and he ya'avor es hakushi. He passed before the Kushi. What was it? This is talking about over here, where after Avshalom was killed, they wanted to deliver to David HaMelech the news that Avshalom was killed. They sent the Kushi. And then Achim was a messenger. And then Achim Ma'as realized that what? It would be better for him to deliver this message himself. And say he takes flight. He ultimately... So you see over here that what? That the Lashon of over means the Lashon of going before. So therefore the Gemara says that's Lashon of over la'asiyasan. I will say you'll see, understand that Chazal often like to do this. They taught multiple lessons in once. What they were doing is they were also reinforcing how to define a certain biblical word. Abayi says from here, Vahu over lifnehem, that he passed before them. Ultimately, talking about Yaakov Avinu's encounter with Esav. So again, you see Lashon of over as a Lashon of going before. Ika da amri other simihacha from here, Vayavor Malkam lifnehem, Vashem Barasham. Fine. I will say the point over here is what? That you see the Lashon of over is a Lashon of passing before. Therefore, when Chazal say, Kolamitzos Mevarchen Alein over La Asiyasan, over means prior to the performance. So we'll say what the Gemara is therefore coming out over here is everyone agrees that you are making a bracha before Hallel. The only suffix is not the only suffix, but the only variable is what? Are you making a bracha after Hallel? And what does that depend on? Depends on Minhag HaMedina. So the Gemara goes via to Tanya. Rebbe Kofel Badvarim. Rebbe, when he recited Hallel, used to go ahead and repeat certain lines. Look at the Rashbam. Kofel badvarin, ma'at haya kofel. He wouldn't repeat the entire Hallel. Instead, what would he repeat? Mi baruch haba ulemata. So I'll say, what's also amazing about this is, you know, we take for granted this text of Hallel that we use. But it is nothing short than riveting to see the evolution of this. So here, who was the first one to repeat? Because if you look, baruch haba b'shem Hashem, I will say again, this is all, it's all Tehillim. So I'll tell them, so if you look in the capital of Tehillim, it's not the Pshat. The David HaMelech didn't say these statements twice. He said it once. So Rebbe was the one who went ahead and began to repeat each of those statements. Rebbe would repeat certain parts of Hallel, specifically from Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem till the end of that paragraph. Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, I will say again, remember, why would you repeat things? So repeating things is a demonstration of incredible endearment of it, right? It's so beautiful, it's so wonderful that you're repeating it, you're reinforcing it. So Rebbe would repeat that section. Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, Mosif Badvarim. Rebbe Elazar ben Parta added on to this. My Mosif, what did he add on? Amra by Mosif Lichpo Me'odcha Lemata. Well, say, listen to how amazing this is. So here you have Rebbe would only repeat from Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem till the end of Hallel. And what happened? Rabbi Elazar ben Parta added on. He would begin to repeat from where? Odcha Hashem. Right? Odcha Hashem. And I will say, obviously, we incorporate both of these practices in our recitation of Hallel. So we repeat from Odcha all the way till the end of the Hallel. So the Gemara says, Amra Abaye, so it's fine. Darsha Ravira. Ravira said the following. Zimnin Amrali Mishmedira. Zimnin Amrali Mishmedira. Actually, if you look at the Masuras Hashas, he changes it to Rav Asi. So sometimes he repeated it in the name of Rav Asi. Sometimes he said the name of Rav Ashi. Ma'i Dichsev, we'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. Again. Ma'i Dichsev, Vayigdal Hayelet Vayigamal. So we'll say, the Pasuk over here speaks about after the birth, it's actually this week's parasha, right? After the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, so what happens? He was nursed until 3 years, and it was the custom that on the day that they weaned the child, they made a big seuda. So it says, the Torah says, Vayigdal Hayelet Vayigamal. The child was weaned and they made a big seuda. So the Gemara says, Mai dichsev, Vayigdal Hayal Vayigamal. So the Gemara says there's a deeper esoteric meaning to this particular pasuk. What's the deeper esoteric meaning? So the Gemara says, Asila Kodesh Baruch Hu Lasos Seuda LaTzadikim. In the future, meaning in the Messianic era, God will make a seuda for the righteous. Biyom Shiyigamal Chasdo Lizaro Shal Yitzchak. So what happens? Vayigdal hayelad vayigamal. The Gemara dashes. One day the child will grow up. When are they going to experience our ultimate growth? In the Messianic era. In the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and literally bestows chesed on the kindness on the offspring of Yitzchak. Vayom sheyigamel, so that you see the drasha, vayigdal hayelad vayigamel. On the day that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be gomel chasadim, will go ahead and bestow chesed on the offspring of Yitzchak, meaning in the messianic redemption, there's going to be a great seuda. And I will say again, this is going to be a seuda to see, because who's going to be sitting at the table? Everybody, right? When I say everybody, I mean the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. So also this, what's going to happen? So the seuda is going to end. La'achar she'ochlin b'shos. So we'll say, what's the shayla? The big shayla of the seuda is, who should lead benching? Who should lead benching, right? Right? We are mechaved. Who, right? Who, right? Who are we going to give benching to? So listen to this. We'll say, this is going to blow your mind. Another underlying Gemara. Nosnally Avram Avinu Kos. Shabracha. So who should they give? Avram Avinu. Right? So we'll say, Avram Avinu is the father of our nation. He should lead benching. Va'omer lahen, he says to them, you know what? No. Eini mevarich, I'm not going to bench. Sheyotza mimeni yishma. Because the truth is, as much as I did good by raising Yitzchak, I have another son, Yishmael, and that son has committed terrible evil in this world. So it's not right for me to lead the benching in the Messianic Suda. Amar lo Yitzchak, tolu barich. Yitzchak, so he said, Yitzchak, you bench. Amar lehen, inim avarich, I'm not going to bench. Shiyotze mimeni Esav. Because again, I have a Yaakov, but I also have an Esav, and Esav also wrought terrible destruction in the world. Omer lo Yaakov, tolu barich. Yaakov says, you should bench. Listen to this. Omer lahem, eini mevarich. Shenasasi shtei achayos bechayehen. Sha'asida Torah la'orsran alai. So Yaakov is going to say, you know what? I shouldn't bench. You know why? I married two sisters. And even though when I married two sisters, there was no prohibition, I did something that later on the Torah would prohibit. And what he says, it means two living sisters. I was married to two sisters at the same time. So Yaakov said, I did something the Torah would later on prohibit. Therefore, it's not appropriate that I lead benching. Amar lo Moshe, tolu barich. So he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you bench. Omer lohem, eini mevarich, shelo zachisi likanes li eretz Yisrael, lo bechayai, lo b'mosai. So say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you lead benching. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm not fit to lead benching. You know why? I never had the merit to enter into Eretz Yisrael, not during my lifetime, and not in my death. Amazing. Omer lo Yoshua. So, Rav Moshe is probably running out of patience at this point in time. Right? So what happens? They say to Yoshua, you lead benching. You lead the Jewish people in. So what happens? Omer lohen, eini mevarich, shelo zachisi leben. I was not privileged to leave behind the son, meaning that there was no one who perpetuated, ultimately, my legacy. Dichsev, Yoshua bin Nun. Nun bino, Yoshua bino. Yoshua says, I didn't leave behind the son. So such my name pretty much disappeared. So it's not right for me to go ahead and bench. Omer lo le David. They come to David HaMelech. Tol ubarech. David said, David HaMelech, will you bench? Take the coast and bench. Omer lohem, this is what David HaMelech says. Ani avarech. I'll lead benching. Veli no el avarech. And the truth is, for me, it's appropriate to bench. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Kos Yeshuos Esa, uv'shem Hashem Ekra. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I will lift up the cup of salvation, and ultimately I will call the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now both say, David HaMelech absolutely has every right and really is entitled to lead benching at the Messianic Suda. Why? Because who is the Melech HaMashiach? None other than his inical, right? The Melech HaMashiach is David HaMelech's grandson. However many greats are in front of that grandson. So David HaMelech says, you know what? I am responsible for this line. And because I'm responsible for this line, it is appropriate for me to lead benching in this Suda. Amazing. Halavai, we should be zocha to see this from here, Rabbi Yameinu. Says the Mishnah. All right. We're back to the regular grind over here. So yeah, we'll stop a little bit more agaratam, very little agaratam, but we certainly had our fill. So literally translated means we do after the Pesach, we don't do Afikoman. So we'll say Afikoman does not seem to be a Hebrew word. Oh. So the Gemara says, exactly. So the Gemara says, my Afikoman. So the Gemara says, what is Afikoman? Right? What does this mean? What does this mean? My Afikoman. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheila, Ya'akru mechabur lechabur. You know what Afikoman means? Afikoman means, excuse me, Shalo Ya'akru mechabur lechabur. You may not move from one group to another group. Now, I will say, if you look at the Rashbam for just a moment, Amar Rav Sheila, Shelo Ya'akru, Amar Rav Shelo Ya'akru Mechabur L'Chabura. Rav says, Afikoman means that you should not move from one group to another group. What does this mean? Rashbam, Acher She'achlo HaPesach B'Chabura, after they ate the Korban Pesach in one group, Lo Yelchu B'Chabura Acheres. You should not move to another group. Le'echol Lo Pas, below shum davar, not to eat bread or not to eat anything else. Gezeira dilma asi lemechal es haPesach b'shnei mekomo. So also remember, you are not permitted to eat the Karan Pesach in more than one location. You have to choose a place, and that's where you have to eat Karan Pesach. There's a concern that if we allow you to eat other things, now technically speaking, if you want to go and eat something else with another chabura, that you can do. But there was a concern that if we allow you to eat other non-Karan Pesach food items with another chabura, what will happen? You'll come to eat your Karban Pesach in that other place as well. So we'll say, if you skip down a little bit in the Rashbam points out over here, he says, look at the last line of that Rashbam, Ularav, Hachi Mashmalei Afikoman, Afiku Manaychu, Hotziu Kelechem Mikan, V'neilech V'ne'achal B'makomachar. So we'll say, according to the Rav, what Afikoman means, Afikoman is a contraction of Apik apiku manaychu, literally lift up your utensils, which is what somebody would say if they wanted to go from one group to another. You would take your plate with you. So therefore, according to what the Mishnah is saying is, ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoman. Even after you finished eating the Karban Pesach, you may not go and eat something else by another chabura. You can't afikoman apik manaychu. You can't take your utensils and go to another chabura. Why? Because we're concerned that if you relocate to another chabura, even though you finished eating your Pesach already, you're just going to have some dessert somewhere else, that what? You may come to actually eat the Karban Pesach in more than one location. And that, of course, would be prohibited. That's Rav. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ushmul and Ushmul says, no, that's not what it means. It means kagon or diloy li vigozlaya la'aba. What it actually means is, for example, mushrooms or truffles for me, and young pigeons for my father. But we'll say, what does this mean? So what Shmuel is saying is, what the Mishnah is prohibiting is dessert. That after you eat the Karban Pesach, there is no dessert. So what would be an example of desserts? Apparently people used to eat mushrooms or truffles for dessert, or some people used to eat pigeons for dessert. A meat dessert, it's not a bad trend to start. Right? So Shmuel says, like, for me, it would be mushrooms or truffles. For my father, it would be young pigeons. So I will say, look at the Rashbam here for just a moment. So the Rashbam writes, he says, first of all, actually, you can look at Rashi. Rashi says, I eat mushrooms or truffles after my suda. V'gozayla la'aba, young pigeons for my father. L'rasha yaragya le'echol gozlim la'achar sudaso. V'lashon afikoman, Hotziu veheviu minei misika. So we'll say afikoman is same contraction, apik kaman, bring before us. What would they say bring before us? That's the lotion that people would use for dessert. Afikoman is a lotion of dessert. Bring out before us the additional course of dessert. So the Mishnah says, ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoman, Shmuel means that the Mishnah is teaching me what? There is no dessert after Karban Pesach. Kar Pesach has to be the last thing you eat for the evening. Rav Chanina bar Shila Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kigon Timarim Uklaus Ve'egozim. And others say, what's another example of Afikoman? And I will say again, remember, interesting enough, everybody's agreeing, Afikoman is not a word to itself. Afikoman is a contraction. The question is, what's the contraction? According to Rav, it's Apik Manaihu, take your utensils. And therefore, what the Mishnah is saying is, you may not switch groups. You may not move from group to group on the night of Pesach, even though what? Even after you have already finished your Karban Pesach. According to Shmuel, Apik Kamaihu, or Apik Minaihu, go ahead and bring out this, bring out the next course, which is a reference to dessert. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying you can't eat dessert on the night of the Seder. And so, Rav Chanina, Rav Shila, Rav Yochanan, I'll give you another example. Another example of dessert. Not everybody eat truffles and young pigeons. That sounds like a very, you know, a very chush of a dessert. But it could also mean, for example, dates, parched grain, nuts, simpler desserts. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yochanan. There's a price that supports Rav Yochanan. Ein maftirin achar pesach. You cannot. There's no maftirin achar pesach. What does that mean? Kigon timarim uklayos ve'egoz. So we'll say we see over here that clearly the lashon of maftirin afikoman is lashon of dessert. And then for the Brice is telling you there's no dessert after the current pesach. Am Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Ein maftirin achar matzah afikoman. Now we'll say comes along. Rav Yehuda says name is Shmuel. Then that's just current pesach. There is no dessert after matzah. There's no afikoman after matzah. Well, say, it's interesting, you know, we call that final piece of matzah afikoman because that's our dessert. What it's saying over here is you don't eat any other food after you eat the matzah. Tanan, ein maftirin achar pesach afikoman. But yet we learned in the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? There's no afikoman, there's no dessert after Pesach. Achar pesach hudalo. So it sounds like what? It's only after Karban Pesach that there's no dessert. But it sounds like what? That after you eat your matzah, you can go ahead. Meaning, let's say now we don't have the Pesach yet, so we have matzah. It sounds like maybe we could have dessert after that. The Rav says, no. Lomi boy komar. Lomi boy rabosa is a stylistic statement that sometimes the Brice or the Mishnah will say something that's understood, but we'll say it anyway. What does that mean? Lomi boy acher matzah, the lo nafish tamayu. It is clear, Abozai, that you can't eat anything after the matzah of the Seder. Why? This is talking about the last matzah we call afikoman. Why not? Because matzah doesn't have a strong taste. And since we want the tamatzah, we want the taste of the matzah to be with you the entire night, so therefore, of course, when it comes to matzah, which has a weaker taste, which means if you eat something afterwards, it'll very quickly clean out the taste of the matzah. Of course, you can't eat anything afterwards because you want the taste to remain. Aval acher Pesach, but I might have thought that after the Karban Pesach, the nafish tame, which has a very strong taste, the meat has a very strong taste, v'lo matze aburile, and even if you were to eat some dessert after the Karban Pesach, then what? The taste of the Karban would still remain. I might have thought that what? That you can eat dessert, kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, both say that not only can, that it's both. You can't eat dessert after matzah, which has a weak taste, and you can't eat dessert after the Karban Pesach itself, which has a stronger taste. The idea is that the Karban Pesach must be the last taste, the last thing you taste that evening. And now the matzah, which we have represented the Karban Pesach, must also be the last thing that you taste that night. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Ein maftirin achar pesach afikoman. And afikoman, according to this approach of Shmuel, means what? Afikoman is another word for dessert. Apikaman, bring out before us this last course, and no last course, no dessert, on the night of the Seder. All right, the Mosai will stop over here.